we offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Do you want to make a change in a friend's life? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that in your word there are so many marvelous examples of how one has helped another by delivering to them the story of Jesus Christ. Today, O God, as we dip into the Old Testament, we pray that your presence may be felt with us as we take a look at what David did for a man who turned his life around. Lord Jesus Christ, speak to us through your word, sustain us with your grace, and grant that we may be strengthened in our relationship with you. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 9th chapter of 2 Samuel, beginning with verse 1. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "Your servant," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one left of the house of Saul, to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Maker, the son of Anamel, in Lodibar." So King David had him brought from Lobar, from the house of Micah, the son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat it at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do.
Friends in Christ, one of the Bible's most beautiful stories is found in 2 Samuel. We have a lot of wonderful Bible stories in the New Testament, and we become very well acquainted with them. But some of the Old Testament Bible stories are not as familiar to us, and I think this is one that is quite unfamiliar to many of us. It's a story of a crippled boy by the name of Mephibosheth. Maybe it is his name that causes us to shy away from telling the story. That's a hard name to pronounce. I'm not even sure that I am pronouncing it correctly, but at least you'll know who the person is, Mephibosheth, and you can read the story in 2 Samuel chapter 9. Years prior to this, a real friendship had been built between David and Jonathan. Jonathan was the son of King Saul. They lived there in the court of the king, and it became very evident to Jonathan that his father Saul was insanely jealous of David. He was trying to kill David, and Jonathan was not going to let that happen. So they decided that they would watch over one another. And finally, one day, Jonathan came to David and said, "David, as much as I would like to be with you, I think that it is time for you to leave the palace. My father, sooner or later, is going to kill you. So I would urge you to go away and to get into hiding." When David left on that day, Jonathan and he made a covenant. The oath was that they would remain friends as long as they lived and even after that, because this friendship would include the families of each one. So the years went by. Saul was killed, Jonathan was killed, and David was a reigning king. One day as he sat in the palace, he said to Ziba, a servant there, "Is there anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" And Ziba said, "Well, Jonathan, you know, had a son, and his son was called Mephibosheth. This boy, however, when he was 5 years of age, became a cripple, for they were fleeing from where they lived, and the nurse who was caring for him fell, and as a result of the accident, the young man was never able to walk." To that, David replied, "Well, where does he live now?" "Well, he lives in the house of Micah in Lodibar. He lives in obscurity for fear that somebody will come, realizing that he is Saul's son, and kill him." When David heard this, he demanded that they bring Mephibosheth to his presence. When the crippled boy got there, David said these words, and I have read it once, but let me read it again. "Don't be afraid," David said to him. "I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." That was the gift that David brought to Mephibosheth in those days where he was filled with all kinds of fear. When Mephibosheth got that message, a message of grace, his life was turned around. This was really God's gift, not David's gift. God wanted Mephibosheth to have that land, to have that care, to be well taken care of throughout the years. But then he wanted David to be the deliverer of God's grace. And that's what God is all about in his word today. Sure, you could say Mephibosheth didn't deserve it. No, probably not. He could have been suffering from the sins of his old grandfather. But God intervenes and offers this young man all of this land, the blessings of being cared for the rest of his day. And he said to David, "You have the privilege of bringing this gift to him from me." David understood what grace was all about, for he was a person who over and over again had not only received many material blessings, he had received them, but he had received spiritual blessings. Many a time he fell into sin and went contrary to the will of God. God could have smote him. God could have destroyed David. God could have said, "I don't want to have anything to do with you." But rather than that, he forgives him and uses him as the greatest king of Israel. At times when he was weak, it was God who strengthened him. Whether he was facing Goliath, the giant, or some other mighty enemy, David in and of himself would never have had the strength to face that difficulty that was before him. But by the grace of God, he got strength, and he went on and became the victor. It was grace that moved David to be God's servant in delivering God's gift to Mephibosheth. That's the way God works, people. As recipients of God's grace, you and I become dispensers of his grace. And that's the thought that I'd like to leave with you today. I had been working on this text for some time, and we had spent the weekend with our daughter and her husband in the Twin City area. As we were driving home, we did what we often do. We took out some tapes and began to play them. My wife said to me, "Would you mind if I played back one or two of those tapes that I once recorded on the grace of God?" And I said, "Please do, because they are really gems." As we were listening to her tape, driving through beautiful Minnesota at this time of the year, Eunice, my wife, used the illustration of Mephibosheth. She said, "If you really want to see how God's grace works, to turn a life around, even as far as the material things are concerned, just study this story." And so we listened, and I listened carefully, and I incorporated it into my sermon today. For here was a person who had nothing. Here was a person who lived in obscurity. Here was a person who perhaps was very bitter, feeling that he had been treated harshly. And then God comes into his life through David and makes it entirely different. That's what happens, people, when God enters into our lives. We become new people in Jesus Christ. Arriving home from our trip to the cities, I went hurriedly off to a luncheon meeting. And there at the luncheon meeting, a man was speaking to a group of about 40 pastors. You know what he was talking about? He was talking about the grace of God. He was urging the people there, the clergy who was listening to him, to be very zealous in getting the message of Jesus Christ out to every person who perhaps has never had an opportunity to hear of the Lord Jesus. And then he said, "You know, I was born and brought up in a home. It was a church home. There were a lot of Bibles around. I had 5 Bibles myself," he said, "but I seldom read them. As a result of that, I was kind of a church person, but not really a committed Christian." And then one day he said, I was sitting in a church, and a man came and told the story of Jesus Christ. He was a deliverer for this man of God's grace. And during the course of that presentation of the gospel and the way of salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ, the man's eyes were opened. And as a result of this, he became a new individual. It not only affected him, but affected his whole family. This man was an executive in the insurance business. And after his retirement, he went on to become a sort of a volunteer in the community. Did many wonderful things for the people around about him. But underneath it all, he was always seeing himself as a deliverer of God's grace. He told us, and I think that I'm correct in these numbers, that he has 5 children. All of them trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. He has 17 grandchildren, and all of them are in a living, personal relationship with God. You see, friend, what can happen? The gift of grace that is delivered by you or by me, if you are the recipient of that grace yourself, can so affect the lives of so many people. That's what David did for this poor, crippled individual. That's what I'm sure my wife and her lectures have done to many who sat and listened to her. That, I'm sure, is what that pastor did on that Sunday morning when my friend who spoke to us the other day was telling the story of Jesus Christ. His life was turned around, and not only his was changed, but his entire family. The heart of a person who has experienced the grace of God and seen what it has done for him or for her is always anxious to share this gift. You see, David had experienced again the grace of God, so there was a kindness that was found in his heart, and he simply had to tell those round about him of God's goodness. So there in that palace that day, when he could have been thinking of all kinds of things, he said to his friend, the servant, "Is there anybody in this world, do you think, who's related to Saul? I know he tried to kill me. I know he really hated me. But you know, Saul was God's chosen person. And when I had to leave the palace, and his son said to me, 'We will always be friends,' I made that vow with him. Now in kindness, is there anybody who is a relative of Saul, consequently of Jonathan, that I can bless?" People, stop and think through your life. Is there anyone, a relative or a friend, who might be living something like the crippled boy, in obscurity, with some bitterness, feeling that God had dealt him a dirty blow with there is a God? Why don't you see yourself, if you are a Christian person having experienced the grace of God, as one who will use the opportunity when it is there to deliver that grace? Oh, you won't be able to deliver him a kingdom that consisted of a lot of land and a lot of wealth. From a standpoint of the finance, you may not change his life at all. But you can deliver to him this great truth that God loved him so much that he sent into this world his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the cross at Calvary, Jesus Christ paid the price for his sins. And if you will but repent of those sins and trust in Christ, he is God's forever. Why don't you do that? Then you are a deliverer of God's grace. And that is the greatest opportunity that a person can have in life, for it turns that individual's life around. And he who was poor suddenly becomes rich. He who was blind is now able to see. That's the grace of God. It is spoken so well in music to that hymn that we all know, "Amazing Grace." Listen as the lyrics are sung into your soul. If you are not a recipient of God's grace, he extends to you today through this program his grace and says, "I want you. I will forgive you. I will turn your life around, and you will be mine forever." But if you are that person who is so fortunate to have had that grace, then why don't you today commit your life to becoming a deliverer of that great gift of God, the message of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Amen. Father in heaven, give us a better understanding of the grace of God. That forgiveness that we do not deserve, that strength that we do not deserve to have come from you, but that life that reaches out to us in the person of Jesus Christ and says, I take you as you are. As it changed the life of that poor crippled boy, grant that it may change our lives and that we then may be deliverers of your grace. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May God's richest blessings be with you this week. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry. We thank each of you for your continued financial support. A memorial gift is a meaningful way to remember a loved one, whether a relative or a friend, when they die. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on his or her birthday or some other special occasion. Reverend Larson writes the feature article of our quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. To receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Our website is here to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hundreds of sermons are available to be read or printed out for a friend. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. The daily devotional, Our Daily Bread, is also available on our website. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in our 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.